League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Pats, Matt Pat, Steph Pat,
hello.
How you doing, Pats?
I'm doing great.
Hey,
yeah.
Tommy.
Can
we,
now that I get
can
to
we
see
have
your
a little request
crystal
for
blue
you?
Eyes. Yeah, what's
yeah,
up?
Can you? We like to open every episode with the guest saying the title of the podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Could you say it? We're not going to say it because it initiates a title sequence. This wouldn't be right for right now.
Right.
Could you say it, but in the game theory voice?
Oh, you got to do it.
Please,
take
okay.
it over. Yeah, go
okay.
for it. It's all you.
That would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, here we go. This
Ready
is it.
Yeah,
I'm warming up into it.
Yep.
Here it is.
Here we go. Yeah.
Shut up, I'm talking.
Shut up. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up. Shut up.
Podcast.
The pause was really
good. I realized that delivered. That wow.
Yeah. I really like that the way that's definitely going to get edited is it's going to go, shut up, I'm talking, intro, and it's going to come back to podcast. Fucking excellent. It's going to flow so well. Oh, that's great. That's
how are you guys this morning in our little bank vault in Durham?
Great. It feels like a party in here, like a very Does locked it? Down party.
Yeah.
A very secure
very
party.
Sad party.
Yeah,
good
so
a
few you know, waters. I didn't expect to get like a historical perspective on Durham, North Carolina while getting to talk to you guys.
There's a whole museum downstairs, and there are a lot of really large pink penguins
That's
around
the thing.
Too.
Yeah, it's a weird merging of like, hey, here's this old historic bank vault. Look at the history of Durham. And also for very
for context,
large 3D printed penguins.
For our audience, yeah. Given we're usually in a tiny blue studio in Brighton, we are in a bank vault underground in Durham, North Carolina, in a hotel that's also a museum.
It's yeah. wild.
I don't know who booked things. This. So I guess you could say we are quirked up white boys, aren't we, Jack?
Yeah, no one... They didn't... I just remember when our producer reached out and was like, yeah, so we have a hotel suite for this one and we have like a normal room for this one. And he just kept hitting me with things. And he went, and then we have a bank vault for Durham.
That's
and then
good.
Just sort of moved over. I was like, whoa, what?
No questions.
Yeah. So yeah, we're here in a bank vault. There's a big burglar alarm. And a weird corridor.
Oh, it literally says burglar alarm.
Mm. Not to be confused with any other alarms that
right?
the bank might have.
Right. Well, it's just, it feels like out of a cartoon that it would be labeled that way. This alarm is for the burglars.
Pats.
What?
We can't get caught on the burglar
in
alarm
it.
Stuff. I was going to ask more questions, but Tom's right. We need to get into this.
He's moving us forward.
We're moving Pats. On.
If there's one thing I know about this podcast.
Focused.
In the podcast,
yeah.
We often, one of us will take the host role and the other will take the jovial fun role. Guess what, Pats? Today I've got the fucking host role in the palm of my hand.
That's good. It really.
Jack, you're gripping
enjoy
hard.
Being the jovial fun one today. I'm the fucking host.
I'm going to have a great time today, Thomas.
Pats.
Thomas.
We open this podcast with a segment. Not the title sequence. That was a sequence.
That's been
this
done.
This is a segment.
Right.
That's already over.
We done that. Smash
check.
That.
I love a podcast that has a very regimented flow that we could just check off.
As we you're going to fucking love it here.
Yeah. You're going to love it.
Mm. Right?
We have a
we
segment.
We would hate for a natural conversation flow. That'd be
this
the worst.
This segment. Pats. Let's stay focused.
I'm so distracted by your crystal blue eyes, Tom.
We're
Stop.
Retired
Matt,
now.
Why are you always?
We can't stand.
All right. I'm only going to say it one more time, Pats, because you're really starting to piss me off.
Stay focused.
We open this podcast with a segment. It is the worst moment of the week.
Mm.
And it's but for when we have guests on, of which you two are, we open with the guests doing their worst moment. Now, this worst moment is more so your most frustrated moment, not your worst
I prepped
moment.
Him. I prepped him on this.
Don't. But I'm the host.
But did you prep the audience,
right?
Jack?
He preps them
every time. I know, right?
It's not your worst. Like, if you're like, I had a depressive episode.
Don't share that.
Don't share that, please.
Keep, that, it's like, keep that well suppressed.
Please,
yeah. Understood.
Push it down.
Yeah.
But if you're like,
turn
oh, I stubbed my toe. Yeah. That's the sort of thing we're looking
oh,
for.
Oh, I've got you.
All right. Kay. So pass.
Yes.
Worst moment, take it away.
Do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first.
No.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Ready for this? Yeah. That's going to be my thing.
Set. Moment.
So when we pulled into the parking lot just now for this podcast.
Today. Okay, it was more now. Wow.
Literally an hour ago, we get out of the car and we're parked next to this bull statue, this large brass bull.
Mm. Durham is the bull city.
It's the bull city.
It's thematic.
So there are bulls all over, except this bull is very anatomically correct. And so as I get out of the car, I'm presented with a large sculpture of bull testicles just right in my face.
The car was angled inauspiciously. Just
right on the corner.
A rough angle. Straight.
I didn't even know.
Sorry.
What does inauspicious mean?
It was the inauspicious. It was.
Yeah, you're going to have to say it again. I heard you, just not knowing what it
angle
meant.
Bad.
Angle bad. Angle bad. Angle bad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Angle bad. Angle bad. Testicles forward.
Yes. Oh, very, very testicle forward. So it's been a very testicle heavy morning for me.
Yeah. Sure.
So
I'm often
there. That was Matthew's worst.
Also, but okay, so that's kind of my jokey answer, I would say. My real answer also came less than an hour
okay,
ago.
Okay, all right.
Really?
Fucking hell, you've had a bad day, mate.
As soon as I got ready for this podcast, it's been straight downhill.
We don't usually allow for two, but go ahead.
No, thank you. I think you'll appreciate this one. So up in your hotel, outside the lobby is the public restroom. And it's a very interesting public restroom where the doors to all of the bathrooms, all the stalls are clear. They're clear glass.
You're walking down the hall. You can see straight
in. You can see straight into the bathrooms. And the way it's supposed to work is you go in and lock the door, and all of a sudden it makes the glass opaque.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very cool.
In concept.
Sure.
So
theory.
Yeah, so I go in.
That was my best ad lib.
Sorry. You're killing it, man. This whole thing.
We're at the very end of the tour. We're really running on fucking fumes at this point.
This
host
thing is going to really pay off for you, man. So go in. I lock the door and the screen, you know, the door transitions from like clear glass to, you know, opaque glass. I prepare, you know, I start preparing to move over to the toilet to do business when...
You can say taking your pants. Oh, yeah.
I was in the process of, removing items of clothing as you do to prepare. Anyway, long story short, the lock apparently wasn't fully locked. Like you have to really latch it in.
Oh.
And so it temporarily flashed off and I could see outside. Luckily, I was, you know, not fully declothed and no one was in the hallway. But there was that moment of like heart attack, stomach drop. Oh no, someone's out there who's going to be seeing me do my business as I frantically reach over, pull shut the thing and like crank it extra hard.
You opened in the last hour.
I'm going to another stall at that point. I'm abandoning ship. There's no way I'm staying in there. That thing's flickering.
I'm so intrigued.
At that point,
you should go try it.
And that's upstairs.
It's literally like a floor up from
me. In the last hour. Wow, you had a bad hour.
I'm really excited about trying it out after this.
Luckily, I get to see Jack, and so that makes it all better.
Okay, mine happened before we got here, so that's already a good sign. For mine, you need a slight backstory, and only in so much as that we moved to a new house at the beginning of this year.
Okay.
Which is at this point, admittedly, like a long time
ago. It's a little while ago.
Yeah, but it's not yesterday like I was kind of hoping, like it is in my brain. But for this whole time, it's got, you know, it's got beautiful windows, lots of natural light
classic
coming in.
Windows.
There are no curtains on those windows. We've been waiting for curtains. We've been like looking for curtains, trying to find curtains, to get curtains for like 5 months now.
Right.
Including in our bedroom, which is like front facing toward the street of our house.
Oh.
So it's weird, right? And the thing is, you come out of the bathroom, right? Like the bathroom is attached to the bedroom. You go take a shower. That's safe. Safe zone in there. You're good.
Okay.
But you come out and there's like a whole bunch of windows that theoretically, like someone standing on the street or a neighbor across the way could see you. And so our strategy has been you open the door of the bathroom and then you immediately do a duck and cover. And then you sort of army crawl over to the closet where it is safe again to get dressed.
Yeah, we're constantly kind of lowering and shimmying ourselves in our own
a low
like private
in a,
areas.
In a towel. Through our own bedroom to get dressed every time
we
take a shower.
The towel was enough, right?
Yeah, but like, do you want somebody taking a picture of you in your towel? Like,
I'd live. I think I'd get over it. I think honestly, if it meant that or shimmying across my own bedroom floor every day like I'm in the army,
you know,
I think I'd just accept
it's
that
decent
maybe
exercise. I'm like, you know what? I'm just committed at this point.
Okay, so how's this your worst moment?
So now? We finally get curtains the other day.
Oh wow.
And we're like, privacy.
We're like, privacy curtains. This is gonna be amazing. I could stand in my own bedroom. It's gonna be tremendous. We get them in, we put them in, and
They're too short.
Yep. They are too short. They're kind of see-through. We get them up in my curtains, and then we're like,
open with that.
No,
that's a bigger problem. Yeah.
I've been army crawling for 5 months, and so I literally just sat on the floor, and I was like, we're never gonna have curtains again.
Yeah,
I give up.
So basically, like, it's all privacy issues.
That was it. Yep. It's all privacy issues. Yeah. It's all people seeing you
guys.
You
both of you have
almost
been seen nude.
Yeah.
Our life is just being perceived in private moments all the time.
We retire and then we still, then you become honestly, flashes, we still are just like in a fishbowl. Yeah. But then we become flashes.
And I can't even monetize it on OnlyFans.
Honestly.
God, if this is going to be happening to
us, you could. Better be rolling. No.
You said that very enthusiastically.
That's true. Fun fact for you, Paps. I really silences when I say Pats. Sorry. I actually have the same problem in mine where I had curtains, but they're front facing onto a road. Mm-hmm. What I did, and this is a bit crazy, is I got myself some motorized blinds.
Ooh.
Let me tell you now.
Yeah.
Fancy pants.
Not worth it. One of the worst purchases. My first big purchase as an adult.
They're expensive. Yeah, they're not cheap.
I was like, you know, I rang my mum because I was so nervous. I was like, mummy sprung the price on me. I don't know if I do this. This is crazy. She goes, fucking Tom, son, you've earned these blinds.
Sorry, this is his first purchase as an adult, but mummy had to be the one to spring the price on
him. Oh, but you want
a
bit of reassurance, like, because I don't know how much things are.
Yeah.
You call your mom and you're like, is $7,000 too much for blinds? And then if mom says it's okay, it's okay.
It was less.
That's good. But anyway, so I get these blinds.
I hope it was less than that.
It was. Okay. And now in the morning, they have a day and night saying. And if I want them to go up in the day, though, they go, and there's three panels, so I have to do it for all.
Right.
But what I realize is during the day, even though I may now be clothed, you know, because the problem was in the morning, I want to, like, if they're on the night set, there's like a see-through thing, but if I want them up, like, before I had these like little sheets so people couldn't see out, but I can see it. I can see out, but they can't see in. Yeah. Now I don't. Yeah. And it's just the whole of like fucking Brighton can see into my room. And I'm like, this is like terrible.
Yeah.
So this is a real big, the reason I've done this tour is to run away from my problems.
I understand completely. Yeah. I mean, that makes complete sense. If you can't get blinds that make you happy, just leave the country. I mean, the logical solution, obviously.
True. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
I'm here to reassure you, like your mom.
Instead of being perceived by Brighton, you're perceived by people all across the world.
It's fine.
You're choosing, you know, you're choosing for this.
I'm getting paid for this, at least.
That's true. See, like I said, if we were selling tickets to our front window, then it'd be totally fine.
We almost were for a while, though. We had a movie theater, like, room put in our house. It's great. It's awesome.
Cool.
You should come out one time.
Yeah, you should come over and watch a movie. You should come over. It's great.
We would love to.
So, but for a while, also no curtains there. So at night, we'd go in and watch the movie. We'd like watch a movie. It's on this huge screen. It's visible from like six houses around us and the whole street running in front.
Who are these pricks of?
Well, it was really our choice of movie that was the problem.
What did you assure me? Give me a little pause. Oh, thank God.
It's one thing if you're watching a Marvel movie and that's totally fine, right? But we're like, oh, we're going to be people of
we're
culture.
Not watching Sonic the Hedgehog. We were watching like kind of like Oscar bait movies from last year.
Yeah.
All of which involved incredible amounts of nudity.
Prolonged periods of time. Like Anora, we're sitting there and we're like, oh, that's a film about a
prostitute, guys. To be honest, literally. You should have known.
Well, you know, you don't, it's an Oscar nominee. Like, there's not a whole lot of like hardcore business.
Yeah.
It just kept going.
There's a lot of business in Anora.
A lot of business.
And now,
it's not Sonic, is it?
It's certainly not Sonic.
No.
Also, have you seen Anora?
Yeah, I've seen. I love.
Can I say that for it being an Oscar Best Picture nominee and winner too? Didn't it win?
Yeah, it won like every sweep.
Worst video game acting.
Yeah. This is where I haven't seen the movie.
You've probably seen the clip of the guy. He goes.
It's literally. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. I don't understand how video games are, what, 40, 45 years old, at least, like, since the Nintendo days, like 1980s or whatever, and people still don't understand, what is this device and how do I use it? It's crazy.
You act out a video game by just mashing the buttons as hard as you can.
Oscar best picture winner. Yeah. Right,
guys.
But anyway, we started looking out our window just to see if there was a gathering of, like, teenage boys on the street, just looking up, trying to, you know, see what was on for the evening.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we go to Matt Pat's house to go watch sleazy movies.
Yeah, we stand outside Matt Pat's house. He's always got a bit of fucking nudity on the pub.
That's how we do it.
Pass.
Tom.
Pass. Hello.
Tomas.
Wait,
I left a little late into the podcast was to introduce you guys.
Wow, we are so far past that point.
It's fine, though. Anyway, audience, this is Matt Pat and Stephanie Pat. They are of the channel Game Theory, Film Theory, 15, Style Theory, and many more. But they've retired recently. And now we're going to learn a little bit more about why.
But
sounds ominous. Like,
great transition, Tom.
But
seamless.
I've got to tell a story now. I played cricket recently.
Oh, tell us about that, Jack.
Oh,
I have to. It's on my notes.
That.
Basically, once every month, they send me off to do an activity called a Jacktivity so I can talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Usually this would be when we have a solo episode, but the timings have worked out wrong. So I've got to tell you a lot about cricket.
Great.
I learned how to play cricket.
Congratulations.
Really hurts your arm. That's what I learned. You know, because you have to throw, I don't know if you've ever played cricket, you bowl. It's a whole like sort of system where you sort of bowl with your arm really big.
Yes.
But if you do it right, all the blood rushes to your hand.
Okay.
So you get a really red hand by the time you've done practicing.
That's if you're doing it right?
That's if you're doing it right.
Centripetal force is a
Yeah, it's like because you're trying to send the ball at like 100 mile an hour, which some of these guys are doing.
Wow.
And you're using all the centripetal force and your hand just goes like big and red. It's horrible.
Yes.
But anyway, if you'd like to see me hurt my hands, then you can go to our Patreon where the Jacktivity of me playing cricket will drop today.
I'm not being funny. We've got the fucking Pats here.
It says
about cricket.
It literally says I have to. It says Jack mentioned cricket.
No, you did good.
We insisted on going to see a cricket match when we were in London a couple of years ago. It was, it was long. It was sure long.
I can't say I've ever really watched cricket to know.
I love that we've watched cricket before.
You watched cricket before I did. Yep. They just send me to do things once a month. I don't really get much say.
Who is this they?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's controlling? Who's pulling the puppet strings?
Is it Tom? Is Tom pulling your puppet strings?
It's Tommy, isn't it?
Speak about it. Pats, we've got so many questions for you.
I think we're getting into it.
You know what? We haven't even asked one yet.
I love a bit about cricket, but we want to know about you, right? And I'll be honest with you, we usually ask
a
couple more questions.
We just told you that we're fans of cricket. Not really. It's really long.
It is a bit shit.
The TLDR of cricket that I've been able to take away from.
Shut off cricket, man. None of us even give a twat about cricket.
I bet that if you give a twat about cricket, leave a comment
below.
Comment down below.
But Pats, Jack, ask your question.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Thanks, Tom. Basically, we wanted to know, given that you've been doing this for so long now, we wanted to know what got you into YouTube in the first place. Because when you started, as far as I can tell, there was no monetization. This wasn't a job prospect. This was just a thing you did. And I'm really curious, whenever someone starts for that reason, what was the driving factor?
Right. If you're not motivated by money, why would you do it?
Honestly.
I mean, we just wanted to be big and rich and famous.
Right.
So what were you thinking about?
I mean, what I was thinking about was finding a job, to be honest.
Sure.
So YouTube was a video hosting site, right?
Like, what year was this?
This was back in, 2000...
1875.
Back in my day. No, this would have been what, like 2009, 2010-ish? Because even before we started Game Theory, I was just using it as a video hosting site, right?
Oh, sure.
So I have a background in theater, and I recorded all my old performances, and so I used it as a place to hold all my old performances.
Sure,
if
it's
you go
free,
back
yeah.
to like the original uploads on the Game Theory's channel, it's me in theater. It's me doing Blood Brothers. It's me doing...
Wow. It's like audition songs and stuff, which weirdly, when we sold the company, we sold the videos on the channel, right? So he doesn't own those anymore.
Yeah.
Strangely
so,
enough.
Yeah. So those are there.
We didn't think to carve out any exceptions for those. So they we don't own those anymore.
Yeah, I didn't really need them anymore. You know, I figured we're a little bit past that one at this point. Matt Pat singing some Oklahoma songs. But yeah, so I mean, it was
surprised.
A video host. Yeah, it was a video hosting platform, right? And it was one of those things where when I started Game Theory, it was more of a means of creating a show to show potential employers that I could write, edit, research, use analytics to grow an audience.
What sort of jobs are you going for?
Literally anything. You guys probably weren't born yet. And I say that kind of joking, but also not.
What
you're
year?
21 and you're...
I'm 22.
22, right? So this was 2009, 2010.
Oh, I was like,
so
yeah, we were alive. I was kicking in 2009.
You would have been like a zygote or something like that. Right?
I think I was 7 years old. I think I was in school. but hey, zygote, school, yeah. I mean, what's the difference?
You know, whatever. But it was one of those things where during that period, the US and the world in general was like in an economic recession.
It was a bummer.
Yeah, it was definitely a bummer. And so no one wanted to hire me for anything, literally anything. I was valedictorian in my high school. I had perfect scores through my SAT. I aced college. I had directed shows all across the country in theater and managed these teams. No one wanted to hire me.
How old were you?
What would that have been?
20.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
20. Wow, about
the age of you guys.
Wow.
And yeah, like I was trying to transition out of theater because it was a really difficult lifestyle. I didn't like moving from place to place as often.
Look how successful they are. They're touring around the country.
What was I doing?
We were rewriting your resume.
Yeah, we were definitely rewriting your resume.
We were doing major surgery.
Yeah, but you
days
college and we dropped out of it. So I reckon.
Because what surprised me. I didn't realize you were there from the very beginning of Game Theory.
Way before. We met in college.
When did you two start going out and meet?
We met at Duke. We met in college. We met in a video game programming class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Classic. We both were trying to avoid taking three-dimensional calculus, and we ended up in a video game programming class. We didn't know each other at all. Mm. We had never met, and we would have otherwise never met. It's very odd because we were studying such completely different things that the odds of us actually ending up in the same class together were like really low.
Yeah, I was
really
theater
low.
And neuroscience.
And I was chemistry and classical languages.
Didn't realize you could.
There's no way.
You could combine those two.
Yeah.
Theater and neuroscience.
Right, exactly. Over here.
Like an American school is so sick.
as you do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Your schools are so different to ours because you really like, there's not that sort of level of like, you can do like
mix
this
and
thing
match.
And this thing. It's
no,
like
you,
very...
you can do like completely separate degrees.
Yeah,
totally separate subjects. But there was no overlap. We were like, we had like four majors between us and there was no overlap between them. And so we ended up in this one class and we hung out in the class and we like to joke that we started doing group projects together in the class and we never stopped doing group projects.
Yeah.
Group projects ever since. I know.
We made a Legend of Zelda parody called The Epic of Stew and it had like multiple levels. It had a boss and then when you rescue the princess at the end, you had to enter into a dating simulation with her. We were very progressive.
Oh, yeah. Where even if you beat the boss, if you screwed up the interaction with the princess, she'd dump you and you'd lose the game immediately. Yeah.
So
hang on. Who asked who out? Or did it just sort of happen?
I don't know.
It slowly happened. Stephanie made up that she saw a shooting star at some point to make a moment extra romantic.
I did, actually. I made it up so.
You're admitting to lying.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were trying to like defend yourself then when you went, I did, actually.
No, I didn't see the shooting star. No, that was bogus.
Just like you have puppeteers that send you to play cricket, Stephanie was puppeteering everything the whole time.
No, I invited him. I invited him over to my house for Thanksgiving because he was stuck alone on campus for Thanksgiving, and I was just like,
we weren't dating.
We weren't dating at the time or anything.
Oh wow!
And yeah. I was like, this is so sad. Like this is pathetic. We're gonna leave him alone on campus over
this
Thanksgiving.
This dickhead, so sad little Trump.
Sad little
and
fucking
I was like,
theatery
no, come
science
home,
man.
Come home with me, but But my parents have cats, and they had three cats at the time. And Matthew was like really allergic to cats at that time. And so he was having kind of a miserable weekend, and he was like just like snotty and sneezing the whole time. And my mom's just
real
walking
romantic
into every room, spraying this hypoallergenic spray all over the place to try and like fend it off.
It's accurate.
And she's vacuuming every so it's the whole weekend is just the sound of the vacuum and spraying and sneezing. And so I was like, I don't think this is very fun. And so we took a walk to get out of the house in the evening. Like it was all dark and stuff, mostly to get away from the cat dander. But I was like, we were walking down the street and it was like pitch black outside. My parents live out in the country. You can see all the stars. It's like really, really beautiful. Aww. And I was like, maybe I can like salvage this moment and it can be like this really nice moment. He'll have this like nice memory from this weekend after having just like snotted all over everything. And so I was like, look, it's a shooting star. And he was like, really?
And I
was like, okay, he's having a good time. And then I totally faked it and didn't tell him for years that I had not actually seen the shooting star.
Well, that'd be funny. I can't believe that you went around to Steph's house at Thanksgiving covered in snot.
Yep.
And Steph, you were like, I need to sort this out.
This is what happens when you take on everyone else's emotional burden and make it your problem and you do it from an early age. It's super healthy, but it did end up helping Matthew that weekend.
It did. Well, it was also tremendously uncomfortable for me because, you know, I was not the type of person to go over to people's houses growing up. Like, you know, so
they
staying.
They could be axe murderers.
They could be.
I could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody.
I could have just drugged him and thrown him in a closet and no one would have ever known.
I didn't want to be an imposition and clearly I was. And so really my greatest fears were founded in that moment. You know, but that's.
So you two start going out and then you make game theory to impress like employers, and then you whack that on YouTube.
Which is a really interesting. We've not had anyone be like, I wanted to make like an online CV. That's a really fascinating.
Well,
if you think
about it, right? Like, I did theater professionally for about 2 years, right?
Sure.
Directing shows and stuff like that.
And I was in New York at the time. So he would like come back to New York as a home base.
Yep.
I was in grad school up in New York City, and he would come back to New York as a home base to audition and stuff. And so we were sort of like long distance relationship at that time, but as time went on, I mean, he'd be like so tired all the time.
What was a long distance relationship like in like 2008?
What's that?
What was a long distance relationship like in like 2008, 2009?
It was like,
because you're not FaceTiming, are you?
Well, it was because there's not the internet service.
Was there Skype
wasn't good enough?
No, it was
there was some Skype, but
a little bit, but we didn't use a whole lot of video call stuff. It was a lot of just long cell phone conversations, and
Matthew would fall asleep halfway through them because you imagine like you're on tour, and you're like doing shows.
I don't have to imagine, Steph.
But like trying to call somebody at the end of the day after that, and you're like, you're like so exhausted. You're trying to talk about your day, and he would just like fall asleep on the phone.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that. I mean, there was also a lot of like planning when the next time you would see a person was. Like, we would never end an interaction until we knew when the next time we were going to see that person.
I think that's a secret to a long distance relationship. Yeah. If you ever end up in one, it's making sure that you know the next time you're going to see someone. Never leave. And before you plan the next time you're going to see someone, even if it's for like 5 months or something like that, even if it's like some really long time.
Hear that? Wow. E-daters?
Right?
That was to my audience.
Yeah.
Oh, was that what that was?
Was that
I thought
a
you were just
nod
having like
the
some
side
weird episode.
That was horrible.
Like glossed over.
So just let it go.
And
so,
then.
So wait, okay. So here, I'll finish your question real quick before you transition.
Okay.
No. So theater's very ephemeral. You know, there's nothing to really show to people like, hey, I'm actually capable of doing the things that I say that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So by creating an online CV, like you said, or like, hey, here are videos that you could reference. It was a very early way of kind of proving that I could do stuff and showing like, hey, I have skills and also grow my own skills. Right. Because at the time I was very rudimentary at editing. I was very rudimentary at the analytics stuff. But it was like each week gave me a project to keep busy with and also to kind of build out my own skills, familiarity with online stuff, and it kind of built and built and built until I was ultimately hired on by one of the early multi-channel networks who were like, we don't know where this whole ecosystem's going, but we believe that digital video is going to be the next TV. And I'm like, I agree with that. And so I was their audience development lead at the time.
Oh,
and then I founded audience development. I was hire number 7. I founded audience development and I consulted a bunch of like the early YouTubers back in the day.
Wow.
And you were involved in this,
and
right?
And I bankrolled the whole thing. No. From the very beginning, so Game Theory started out of my apartment in New York. and mm-hmm. when I was in grad school. And we
in
had
a closet, right?
Yeah, in the closet. Exactly. I had to clear out a whole closet. And if you know New York City apartments, they're already really small. Oh, wow. So that was yeah. that was I mean
that is love, isn't it?
Yeah, it
I know.
Love.
That is a sacrifice for him. How kind.
No, there was one point when he came back from whatever, you know, show he had just done, and it was like, you know, it's like freezing in New York. It's like -5 and there's the wind chill and it's miserable. And he's like, I just like, you know, didn't want to do theater anymore. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And so we sat down together and rewrote his resume because he was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't do theater. And we were like, well, actually, there's like this whole field of like, you know, like Google and Facebook and all these companies that were like huge at the time who were hiring like people who were smart but also creative. And we were like, that's where you should be. And so we kind of rewrote his resume around that. And then we made a bet, which was that whoever gets a job first, the other person will move with them. We weren't married or anything at the time. We were like, as long as it's like reasonable and it's not like moving to Alaska, as long as the one of us gets a job, the other one will go. And so I graduated from grad school and I got a job in LA. And that's what moved us out from New York to LA. And okay. in the meantime, I helped proof some scripts. Yep. We came up with like the colors for the Game Theory logo. Mm-hmm. I came up with the title Game Theory.
Yep.
Wow.
Because my parents are economists and it's based on like, it's a pun on economics.
Game sure. Theory. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
I didn't know that until we have a friend, Justin. He's 30.
Yep.
He's an old. Compared to us. And he's like recently sort of discovering YouTube stuff. And I mentioned Game Theory to him. And he's like, oh, like the guy. And he mentioned, I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, but
he mentioned it. And I was like, what? I had no idea. I'm like, no, like theories about games.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? I couldn't possibly think. But yeah, I learned that recently.
No, totally.
Like being like our age and just sort of like.
Poor? Is the word you're looking for? You know what?
It's one of those things where it just sounds.
He doesn't understand. He had a Minecraft channel early. Like, he doesn't know what it's like.
He bought expensive roller blinds, motorized. At like 21. That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I am super grounded.
You know what we were buying when we were 21? We would split a Chipotle burrito, and that was our big
meal. And you'd
watch
the opera, wouldn't you, in time you told me?
Yeah, good memory. Yeah, we would watch the opera. The tickets were, what, $15 for the student rush tickets? And that was as much as we could do.
What was that time of your life like? Was it exciting? Was it scary? Was it fun? Was it?
It's scary. I mean, here's the thing. It was scary, but it was also, you know, that like in your mind, you also kind of like know that you're 22. And so there's only so much stakes that anything has. I mean, everything feels like a really big deal. But at the same time, you don't have a house. You're like, you don't have a mortgage. You don't have kids. You don't have like people who depend on you. So it's like, well, if I can navigate this situation, then I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Like, and yeah, you don't always believe that you're going to figure it out. But like, it works out.
Yeah, like you have a goal.
You're
going to
be fine, in other words. You're going to be fine, Tommy.
At least for me, it was one of those things where like you had a goal in mind, right? Like my goal initially was I'm going to make it big into theater and be a professional theater guy and whatever that
is. Because your goal changed a couple of times. Like, well, what's that like?
I mean, well, the goal never changed. That was the goal since I was in preschool.
Okay.
And all of my school, like the neuroscience stuff was fun because I was interested in psychology and like how the brain works and stuff like that. So that was always like the backup plan. But really, because everyone's like, oh, you're never going to make a living in theater. But I'm like, let's pursue it. And it was one of those things where, and I did, but every morning at like 4 a.m, I would wake up and stand outside on the freezing street corner of New York, outside of the audition area to wait for like 3, 4, 5 hours to maybe get 20 seconds to sing a song, maybe, if you're lucky. But all the like actors union rules made sure that people were prioritized in front of you and this and that. So breaking into the industry was really hard. There were theaters where you could pay to perform there and get like equity points and stuff. And so you were free labor all hours of the night and you would pay for the opportunity to actually get into you know, maybe get into the actors union, right?
Bit of a racket.
Yeah. Fortunately, I wound up in really good theaters. I never had to pay my way. I was paid a decent wage. It wasn't a good wage, but I was paid an okay wage. But you know it's bad when you fill out your taxes at the end of the year and they're like, you know what? you don't owe us any money. Like, it's okay. You didn't earn enough to.
I was there for a little while.
Yeah, yeah, right. And when the government takes pity on you, like, you know, it's like, you know that you're just scraping by. And so it was one of those things where there was a couple years of just kind of like cobbling that together and gig hopping from job to job.
Yeah, yeah.
And being like, there's got to be something better. And I think that was starting to sense it. And Stephanie, you've just always been very forward minded and very strategic. And so you, like, I was feeling that you kind of understood that concept and helped me kind of find where to go from there. But after a whole lifetime of me working towards this goal of theater, now all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know what I am. I'm smart and creative. What do I become? And so I was in this lost period.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Absolutely. I think you would have done, like, if you hadn't have met, like, without, you know, because it sounds like you were on both very different paths and then it combined. You know, you went to that. Have you ever thought about
it? I mean,
I think we think about, like, the multiverse theory a lot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What do you think would have happened?
The most game theory way to answer that question. I think about the multiverse theory when it comes to this question.
Every once in a while,
but please, carry on.
No, like the ever branching pathways of, like, you don't meet. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I don't know.
Mean, the thing is, and the thing that I say is, I probably would have continued with theater, to be honest. Like,
yeah, just struggle through it.
Because I was stringing together jobs, you know, and they were good jobs, they were good roles, they were good directing gigs. Like, I was able to thread together a very successful acting and directing career for where I was at the time, right? And I think if I had continued to beat down that door, eventually I would have gotten into the Actors Union and then seen for bigger shows and whatever.
Sure.
It would have been tough and it would have taken longer than I expected, and I would have had to play more of a relationship game than I was at the time.
Yeah.
But I think I would have probably kept going in that direction, right? I'm the type of person, if you give me a task, I will keep going on that task and I will work as hard as possible to make that task function and I will make it as good as possible.
Yeah.
And I'll go until it's done.
Because you approached the Tommy and the Survival Tour with like excitement, enthusiasm, and almost were analyzing it to me in a way I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah.
And like, in this bit is like where you kind of like suddenly reveal your trauma and maybe that. And I was like, is it?
Yeah.
It was I was like seeing it with a theater person. I was like, holy shit, this is so funny.
I mean, well, and again, that goes to my background, but also that goes into just
literally,
like, the
analytical
side.
Like, don't mess with Tommy's show. It's his show. Like, what are you doing?
I just was excited to talk to him about his show.
Did he ruin your show?
He didn't, but look.
Whoa, come on now.
Matt.
Yes.
Told you.
Took great creative liberties with it. So if anyone hasn't
creative liberties is crazy.
To the Tommy and the Survival Tour, to come, basically I give the other person on stage a script and they read it and, you know, they like say it and it's like, oh, you're not meant to say this. How do I phrase this? It was not that gay. But when we did it, Matt, it was gay. Gay as hell.
Okay, yeah. Like I said on stage during the show, and I know you recorded the show, I was just reading the words that you put. To be fair, like, again, as a theater person, I was reading the words that were put in. And so as an actor and director, it's very much like analyzing the jokes. Like, every line has a joke in it, right? To some degree. And so when you, in your script, write lines like, oh, I don't want to say this to you, Tommy. It might hurt your feelings. Will you forgive me, sir? Like, that's a very subservient line, right? Or at the end where it's like, or like, you're like self-deprecating yourself on stage at one point and you're like, and I'm like, oh, you're doing great, sweetie. Those aren't words that I put into the script. Those are words that I, as the performer, are reading. And I'm like, okay, this is the way it's going to be played, right? Or audience can judge. One of my very first lines of the show is, oh my gosh, I'm on stage next to Tommy Innit. I love you. I love you so much.
That's true.
Like, I mean, really, I could read that. oh, I love you. I love you so much. Or I could read that, I love you. I love you so much. And one of those is a stronger choice than the other. And so I just, based on that.
I love it. Your justification for it being more gay was, that was the best way it could be.
I was reading the words that were on the page.
I'll try it more gay tonight.
You should. And also, if you leave pauses, it lets the audience fill in the gaps, which makes it really fun. And they can project
whatever feelings they want into those moments.
They did. And of course, coming from gay.
That's the best part.
Of course, coming from your fandom.
We kissed.
Did you?
Me and Matt.
I get it. I understand. I kissed him,
to be fair. Like, I mean.
Oh, no. It was consensual, as long as it was consensual.
There was a moment where I broke, where it was all getting a little too gay for comfort. Suddenly, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm all up for gay, but then I was looking at Matt Pat and he was leaning in like that, and I looked to my right, there was 300 people going kiss with such an intense ferocity.
Oh, does that make you feel a little uncomfortable?
I never. There's only so many times in one's life.
I like how we did a daily podcast for 5 years together where we sat on the couch and we made the conscious choice to always be platonic on camera.
Really?
Do you know how much pressure there is to kiss
now
on a live stream when you do it 5 days a week for 2 hours a day for years?
I'm sure you guys have sexual tension between
you
all.
There's been moments of small amounts. Small amounts. Yeah. Not large.
If it makes you feel better, mine and Daniel Howell's show was gayer than ours.
Really?
He is gay professionally, though.
We don't know.
Not professionally,
that.
Sorry, just like in his life. Sorry, I don't know. Just like it's part of his lifestyle to be gay.
But I just remember being like, there's only so many times in one man's life where he's getting peer pressure to like kiss Matt Pat, and this is that time for me.
I'm sorry, every boy had peer pressure.
To be honest, the first time I ever saw Matthew perform in a theater show, he was cross-dressed on stage in a long lady's toga. And were you wearing makeup as well?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It would not be the last time that I saw him cross-dressed.
I did a lot of drag in theater. I bet you'd be
fucking legendary.
Oh, fantastic.
I bet you were legendary.
I'm fantastic.
I like the confidence. I really like that you were good at it.
It was always really good. You know, like, you know, it was, I think the first drag thing that I did was in junior year of high school.
Wow.
Or maybe sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, you've been since early.
Yeah, my school, middle of Ohio. So, you know, a very conservative area.
I was about to say, does it hit in Ohio, the drag?
It did at the time. I don't know where it would now. So in my high school, though, it was we had a lot of choirs. We had a lot of bands. Like, it was a very artsy high school.
Sure, okay.
But every year they would do the big musical theater review where all the choirs would get together and do a bunch of different songs. And there was a group of guys who would independently get together to do the yearly drag number. And I thought that was like the coolest, most fun thing to do. And so, you know, and it was always like the biggest hit of the show, where here's a bunch of guys doing, you know, Gotta Get a Gimmick from Sweet Charity, or like, you know, dressing up as grannies 1 year from The Producers.
That's
and,
fun.
You know, strutting around in their wigs and dresses and stuff. And the audience just ate it up, except for my grandparents, who were super weirded out. It was the one show that they actually came. I was always the weird kid in the family because we came from a very, like, my extended family's very sports, sports. And so me being like, I like musical theater, they're like, that's strange. My cousins are getting like basketball, football. And my grandparents are like, we didn't know what to get you. So here's a magnifying.
Do you know what? It's lovely, though, despite all of that, just how comfortable you seem in yourself and always have. That's so, it's quite inspirational, really.
Thank you. Right. I appreciate that.
I actually, when we met, like, we asked the multiverse theory of like where you end up without meeting the other person. And I think like I was so introverted when we met, so introverted. And what I think is really cool is that, like, you know, if you do go through a background in the arts of any kind, but like in theater, you get comfortable playing other characters on stage. Like you can be someone who you're not in a performance setting, and it's totally okay. It doesn't reflect on you as a person forever or something like that. We've done, like I said, live streams and stuff like that for years, and you get to be all these different people, or you get to try out sort of doing all these different activities or trying on like slightly different personas in each like live appearance. You guys are in the middle of a tour, like you get it.
Yeah.
And it's nice, and it feels safe to do that, and it doesn't like it doesn't reflect on you forever. It's just something that you can try and it's fun. And if it makes somebody laugh or makes somebody happy, like, how awesome is that?
Exactly. I'm just really glad the drag was well received in Ohio, because I never did it in school, but I've since done it as in like this career. Yeah. And I went back to my old school recently. They made me do an assembly and I threw it out to questions and one kid went, "Didn't you dress up as a girl recently? Why did you do that?"
Oh, wow.
No.
Yeah. And it was weird. It was a weird moment to like be back in school, yeah, as like a 20-year-old trying to vend yourself to a 14-year-old. I was like, well. I didn't have a good reason
to
for
do,
it. I was like, it was funny. I think it was fun.
Sure.
I don't think it means anything.
So I think we've gotten to one of your questions, right?
Yeah, but Pats. Hey, I got loads of questions.
Pats.
Don't even.
Pats.
Here's a question for you guys. This is one that Jack definitely thought I should ask. Do you think I will find love again?
Yes. 100%. Easy.
Oh, you're such a catch, Tommy. Come on.
Yeah, the big question, though, is can you love yourself?
Yeah.
You can't
love yourself.
That's what you
How
need, brother. You need to love yourself
love
some more.
This is getting intense.
You need to love yourself what? Some damn
Say
more.
Shut up, man. Say more, Matt Pat.
Same what?
More about this.
Oh, so, I mean, here's
Tell
the me thing.
More. He wants a therapy session now where we reassure.
No. I just want to. Well, yes, actually, yes.
I mean,
it's fine. That's what we're here for, it, man.
Stephanie just quoted RuPaul's Drag Race. Since we're talking
a lot
about
of drag,
drag
yeah,
stuff. Yeah, no, there's a lot of drag in this one. But like the ending line of that show every week is, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love someone else?
Mm. Can I get an amen?
Can I get
up in
an
here?
Amen? Yep, I'm here. And so, but that's very true, right? Like. It's so important for you to get comfortable with who you are and kind of like understand yourself before asking someone else to kind of like accept who you are, right? Like, you have to love the person that you are so that way other people can know who to love.
That feels like such a tall task, though, because we're never going to love everything about ourselves, right? You're always going to have stuff about yourself that you're like, oh, that's the worst. I hate that about me or whatever. Mm. You know, there's always going to be that. So I think being like, well, you have to love yourself. You have to think you're amazing all the time. Like, that's never going to happen. But being like having an inner core of knowing something about yourself and something about what you want reflects outside of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It gives off a positive aura of like, you're the type of person who sees something, feels positively about going and doing it.
Yeah.
And people like that. And just having that is kind of like, it's kind
of
it.
It's also one of those things too, where like, you know, the theme of this one is acting, right? I guess in a lot of ways. And so me having the core of who I am allows me to try on different personalities or characters or different roles, but I always come back to who I am. I know who I am, right? I know who Matthew Patrick is.
It's actually what enabled us to retire. If we didn't know who we were, then we would have just identified as YouTubers. I think that's been a big theme of like, we have a lot of conversations with people about retiring, and there are a lot of conversations about, sorry, this is dovetailing in a weird way, but
we have
a lot of conversations with people about like, what are, well, I, you know, I can't give up creative control of my channel. I could never sell my business. I could never walk away. I could never step back because this is like, it's so much of who I am.
Yeah.
It's like, is it who you are? You are a YouTuber, but is that all you are? Like, if you're only a YouTuber, what are you? Are you your subscriber numbers? Are you a view count? Are you are you like the good and the mix of the good and the bad comments? Like, what is that?
Yeah. Who are you?
You have to be something else. Yeah. You can do YouTube. You can be a YouTuber and that's part of your identity. But if that's your whole identity, right? That doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, it's detrimental.
Right. You have to come back to who you are in order to let go of parts of yourself as you like go through different chapters of your life too, right? Mm-hmm. You can't hold on to everything all the time because then you never have any space for anything new.
Yeah, it's about like, what do you want? Why do you create? Why are you inspired to create the things that you do, right? Yeah. And it goes back to that moment on stage of the audience saying like, kiss, kiss, kiss.
We're gonna find a way to make this full circle.
I like how everything ties together, because I mean, it really does. In that moment, if you had chosen to kiss me, totally fine. I was totally game for that choice. But I also saw that you were uncomfortable in that moment being pressured, which is also totally valid. But at the end of the day, like, whether I kissed you or not, I knew that that moment was just a moment on stage. I'm a character performing in front of an audience. And that character is very closely aligned to who I am as a, like, it's, I liked that show a lot because I got to very much be myself in a lot of ways. But that's a moment for the audience. That's a moment on the stage. It's a bit. But then when we walk away from it, it doesn't change anything about us. It doesn't change anything about who I am. It doesn't change anything about my relationship with Stephanie in that moment, because she knows that we are still as tight as ever. And
I'm sorry, I'm not really threatened by you, Tommy.
It's okay.
Yeah. And so like it all kind of goes back to that like nexus, that core of who you are as
this
a person,
is great.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This was the best way of tying that up.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Tom, you will find love again. Because
you will
in that
find
moment,
love.
Matt yeah. would have kissed you.
Right.
And it wouldn't have changed a damn thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pats.
Yeah, no problem.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
We have do you regret the most?
Which what?
Theory do you regret the most?
How much time do you have? Mostly, actually, they're fine.
Most of them are good. Even the bad ones, quote unquote bad ones, were valuable learning tools. So like very early on, there was a persona theory that, and there was a persona theory, and then there was like an episode of this show, Deadlock, that we did, which was not a proper game theory.
Oh, yeah, I remember Deadlock.
But Deadlock was this debate show that we did, and we did one, TF2 versus Overwatch. Those were two that I basically entirely outsourced to some of the writers that we worked with, or some of the third-party freelance writers, where I'm like, hey, I'd love to do an episode about Persona. I have no history with this. Hey, I know a little bit about Overwatch and TF2, but I don't know a whole lot about, you know, those franchises to the level that I would want to for these episodes. Sure. And people assured me up, down, left, right, and sideways that they're like, oh, we got it, we got it, we got it. And I'm like, okay, because at the end of the day, like, I'm the one on the line.
It reflects on you. Yeah,
it reflects, like, I'm the voice. People aren't going to necessarily know that you're the one that wrote this and what level this is Matt Pat's words versus yours. And those were both super poorly received by the audience, just completely flat out, and lived on for many, many years to haunt me, right? And luckily, they happened early enough in my career that I learned, hey, I probably shouldn't trust people with that much freedom, you know, like
that's the thing. The bad episodes teach you stuff.
Exactly.
Like I have a similar example of one of the we got a very big mobile game brand deal early on, and it was like early in the days of brand deals in general. But it was a huge number, like it was a big financial number, enough to like so we could hire a whole person for it was one of those numbers, and we were like, oh, we got to find a way to do this, and it got up to like the last minute, and we were like a little bit worried about, because it was a dedicated video, it wasn't just like a shout out,
right,
it was a dedicated video, and like I had like kind of, I think we both did, but like we had like kind of a sinking feeling going into it. Like this is, I don't know if this is going to go over well. I don't know if this is going to go over well. And it bombed. People hated it. They were so angry. First of all, that we took a brand deal, because brand deal money was still kind of like,
Yeah. Nowadays it's like, oh, get that bag.
Yeah.
But back in the day,
yeah,
it was like,
used
you chill, you sold out.
Exactly. And we were like, we're literally thinking like someone's salary. But like in that moment, we put it up, and then people were so mad. And honestly, they held it against us for like a year.
It was a long time.
They held a grudge, and it was one of those things where I was like, yes, clearly this was totally a mistake. We learned a lot about like, you know, when a brand deal is like, there's just no number where you can say yes. You're like, nope, this is too damaging. There's no payment amount that's attached to this where it could possibly be worth it. But it also, it taught us about like following our gut and like trusting our instincts. So here's the thing, like you ask about like ones that we regret. It's like, do I regret those episodes?
Sure.
In the sense that they got a really bad response, yes. But if we hadn't done them, we would have done them later. Like, we would have made that mistake at some point. Yeah,
there were inevitabilities.
I mean, even to scale it up and kind of fast forward many, many years in our career, right? I'd say around like the midpoint or like back two-thirds of our life online, there was a moment where Defy Media collapsed. You guys just had an episode not too long ago with Ian and Anthony of Smosh. Through a series of, you know, corporate machinations, Defy is ultimately the company that owns Smosh. So to give you kind of some level of context, we were part of that multi-channel network at the time that they collapsed, and they stole about like $200,000 from us that we never recovered. More of like the whole creators in their network, like I think it was end up being about like $1.2-1.5 million or something but we were a pretty hefty chunk of that, and that money just disappeared. Sucked. It was terrible. We had just had a kid too, so
the worst time.
Kid was like 2 months old, like literally, and it was a nightmare scenario. It's one of those things where, do I regret signing up to that MCN? Because we also just signed into the network and it immediately collapsed.
Oh really?
And it was kind of thing where we had a phone call with the CEO of that company like a couple weeks before we signed up with them and like did the final paperwork, where we specifically asked him about the stability and the longevity of the company, and he told us up, down, and sideways that it was never been in better financial shape, that it was so successful, that they were growing, like,
it was rough.
Swore every direction. We sign into the network, and then 3 months later, they are bankrupt.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. Just lied directly to our face. It was the worst.
In terms of like career regrets, that has to be the biggest, probably. But if I look back on it now, I also recognize that learning that lesson about trusting people and not trusting anyone,
trusting people
anyone.
To a certain degree, but always having a certain level of skepticism.
You can trust them. I don't trust them. Anyway,
it's fine.
But no, it really teaches you this, Steph.
They're all
it
busters.
Teaches you like this very like. And it made us more cynical.
Yeah.
And it made us savvier, and it made us less nice to do business with. To be totally honest, we're always very good business partners, but getting into business with us became a lot harder after that. And we escaped many other scams down the line that could have
trial
actually cost
by
us
fire.
More.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, totally. 100%. So that way, you know, many years later, when it came time to start negotiating with companies about potentially selling Theorist and selling this business that we had built, we knew a lot of the watch outs and worst case scenarios that could happen. And we were able to work those into the contract and be like, hey, we need extra contingencies in place that protect us if something doesn't go in a way that we expect, or, you know, if there's some.
If they're suddenly financially insolvent, or, you know, exactly. If they go bankrupt, if they go under, like, hey, there better be like 8 clauses in the contract that protect us.
It avoided extra financial risk down the line for a much bigger deal later.
Right, Pat, so we've got will you do that anecdote?
It's about cricket.
I had a question that flowed actually quite nice there for what they were saying, so I'm going to do that. How are you finding the old retirement now? Like, we asked you about this when we saw you in New York, but it's been a little while. And I'll be honest, when we spoke to you last time, you were sort of like, we're retired. We're also, we've been doing with our time theater, and it looked like you hadn't like slowed down at all.
Yeah.
Has that changed, or are you still full steam ahead as it seems you always are?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's interesting. The way that we were talking about it actually this morning is it's like a hedge, right?
Sure.
So when we were doing Theorist and YouTube, it was all a very finely trimmed hedge, like a hedgerow,
right? We've been doing it for 12 years. You have it it's a machine, right?
You really get it. Yeah.
And the machine pushes you forward and you push the machine forward. Yeah. And it's like this cycle that just goes on.
Right. But that was the only thing that could grow in our garden, right? Yeah. Like we maintained this hedge and it was a perfect hedge, but that was it. Like friendships? Nope. Self-care?
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, yeah.
Family?
You know, family? Nope. You know, other activities or hobbies? Absolutely not. It's all dedicated to feeding this hedge and making sure it's pristine and perfect. Now that's
a weird
analogy.
I
know,
it's
right?
Fine.
But now
I get it.
The garden
just plow through, man.
Yeah,
it's
fine. But now the garden has a chance to grow, right? Where there's friends and family over here as one plant, and there's like, you know, diet and exercise over here, and there's like hobbies over here, and there's podcasts with you or traveling to New York to do a show together, things
Tommy
like
and
that.
Hedge.
Tommy and a hedge, which is a surprisingly large hedge at this point.
Right? This hedge is kind of encroaching on some stuff. Well, I don't know.
But that's exactly it. This hedge is encroaching. And so now all of a sudden, the garden starts to kind of become a little bit less curated, right? Yeah. It's a little bit messier of a garden. And so it's up to us to figure out what we want that garden to look like and feel like. Basically scape out the garden and figure out what plants are we watering, which ones do we want to keep, how large do we want them to grow.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of random stuff in there right now, to be honest. It doesn't turn off. Things don't turn off like you'd think they would.
No, I can imagine not.
It's really weird. And especially, I mean, you guys are 22. What do you know? But like when you have a house here, we're like landlords. We have like other houses. We like, you know, we have like stuff to manage. We have like
are you also a landlord?
Very, very good landlords.
He's a landlord too, Aaron.
Now, our landlord's a dickhead.
Cool.
Honestly, he's pretty.
Cool.
And we're a pretty sweet landlord.
And then you have family and you have friends and you have other, and you have these things that people ask you to do. And you're like, well, yeah, I have free time. Theoretically, I should be able to do all these things. And it just kind of like, it like fills things up. And so when you think you're turning off the switch by turning off this huge thing that we're doing, this company, all the YouTube channels, like, and also just being so deeply plugged into the internet, because we were like, so entrenched all the time. And you think you're just going to turn it off, and it really doesn't. It doesn't work like that. Like, life still keeps happening to you.
Yeah.
And it's about like finding what you want to prioritize. And after 12 years, I honestly think the most honest answer is like that takes time. I don't think you can like figure that out on day one.
No, for sure. How far along that process do you think you are? Where do you think you're at the minute?
We're getting there. So
I was gonna say like between 40% and 60% of the way there, I think.
Sure. Yeah,
after 5 months, I feel like that's okay.
That's very reasonable. Right. We're also
still completing this transition time, right?
How involved in theorists are you still? I suppose
not. Really.
Oh, you're really not anymore.
Really not. Every once in a while, they'll call us up and ask us a question, but it's very rare. And more, it's like, hey, we check in with the team because we're friends.
And we do advisory calls like once a quarter.
Yeah.
Wow.
The whole retirement arc for us has been unwinding. It's like a ball that's entangled, you know?
We have a new analogy.
And so it's been unwinding from there, but even though the theorist threads are largely untangled, we also, like Stephanie alluded to earlier, we moved. Yeah. We have the old house, the old theorist house, where we filmed a lot of shows.
You wouldn't believe how much we had to like paint and change and like get back to normal. We were trying to sell it pretty soon. But we had our whole basement was a studio. Our whole attic was a studio. Our whole kitchen was like used for all the food theory shoots and stuff like that. It was like there was just studio and theory stuff everywhere.
Mega wealthy fan that would have bought it.
I mean, they still can. It's going to be on the market hopefully the next week or two. Honestly, you can do it. If you need the listing, let us know.
Yeah.
If you're interested, if you're we'll give you the. We won't give it to you.
You can have it.
You buy it for money.
If you buy it,
right? No, and you'll recognize like parts of the videos in this. I mean, it's a very cool house. It's a beautiful house. It's enormous. And we used every square inch of it, and it didn't work for us as a family of three anymore, but it worked for us as content creators.
We lived in three rooms as people, and you can imagine like trying to transition out of that lifestyle into like a normal person lifestyle. We lived in three rooms of the house. There was our room, our son's room, and one like upstairs sitting room because we couldn't use the living room because everyone was all over everything all the time.
Oh, geez,
we couldn't use the kitchen.
You want a bit of space from it all, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that would drive me insane, I think.
At this point, we're kind of almost through this transition period. That house is almost on the market. Our new house is basically in the final phases of being done. The theorist stuff is largely unwound, right? And so once we get to the end of I don't know when this is going up, but like say once you get to the end of May or like the start of summer, that feels like, hey, we've explored a lot of different possibilities. We've done cool stuff with a lot of different people. Mm. We've kind of finalized the unwinding stuff. And now we can start working towards, hey, what is the next thing that we want to pursue?
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Really cool. Lovely to have a sort of idea of the...
Yeah.
Right.
It's not flicking switches. And I think that's been the surprise.
We have two responsibilities here. One of them is... you sent me a text prepping for this episode that, and I'm going to be honest, Matt, you got to remember I wasn't at the show that you and Tom did.
Sure, yes.
I haven't seen any of it.
Okay.
And you sent me the text, and I won't read it all, but you said at one point,
This made me cry laughing.
Dropping off our brackets woke son at school. And I, as someone who hasn't been at the fucking show when... Okay.
That's fair. I forgot that the script is different for everyone.
I was so fucking confused. Yeah. I was like, Tom, why the fuck is he just called his son woke? And it was like a completely normal, very, very, not formal, but very to the point text.
In the rest of the text beside woke, so
it was like the only joke in this very normal text. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, that was weird. Maybe I'm not the one you should be asking about. Maybe that's the one you should be asking about.
I just thought I'd let you know, because I've since been explained.
We had the line in the show. I hate it. I hate my son, my woke son. And I thought, nah, he's not going to want that. But like, and at 20 minutes before the show, I was like, that's this one line I really wanted to do. I didn't think you wanted to do it, but look, we've hung out enough. Will you call your son woke? And you were like, and I was so proud. And the line went
you
down
were so, proud,
so well. I was so happy.
Yeah. No, it went
raising
over very
my
well.
My son. My woke son.
Yeah. That's what
that
it is.
Really good.
At which point I turned to Tom and I'm like, he's six. You know, like, dude, he's six, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that was a reference to. Sorry for the confusion.
No, it's all good. I accepted that there was probably something to it. But I was like, I don't know.
In his defense, Matthew doesn't send very many text messages. So the fact that you got a text message that was like of a significant length is actually, it's probably just out of your it's out of your wheelhouse. Oh, a little bit.
Well, also you can rest assured that me debating whether or not to send that joke took far longer than it should have.
You wouldn't believe how long it takes to do a tweet at our house or
tweets and text messages are like the most stressful things that I can do.
Sometimes,
why is that?
Sometimes Matthew
social
just,
media stresses
actually
me
often
out. And communicating with other people.
Oh
me
yeah,
out.
And honestly, if to be totally, you can say this if this is not true. You can say it's not true, but if you have received a text message from Matthew in the last 8 years, there's like a 90% chance that it actually came from me, because he labors so much over text messages. He can't handle it. And sometimes he'll just hand me the phone and be like, can you
wow.
do this?
Sure. Well, did you call your son work then?
Because
yeah,
you know, in person.
That was him.
Right.
We retired. He's got to take this back.
I'm getting better at it.
Like,
yeah.
You know, in person, like, this is so easy. Like, yeah. I get what you're saying. I can hear your tone. I understand. Over text, what does it all mean, man?
I know.
I've been laboring over it lately as well. Because you're like,
hard.
What does it mean? What if they think I mean something else? What if I could, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then by the time you thought, okay, finally, I've made my point clear.
Yep.
You fucking typed out a paragraph. Oh, that's too long. They're going to think
yeah,
I'm crazy.
Exactly, right?
It's bullshit, man.
Yep.
Just all, but then, and then everyone's going to be like, ooh, the solution's voice notes. No, it's not. If you think I have a fucking 2.5 minutes in my day to pause the great momentum of my day to listen to someone's voice note, absolutely not. Especially if it's a fucking irritating person and they don't get to the point quick. Do you know what I mean? It's very, very difficult.
If you're in public, there's no way you can like hold your phone.
Yeah, I'll
like,
do that. What am I,
a
dickhead? No.
A voice note?
Not, I'm
no
not
way.
An Apple salesman, but they do have a feature where you just put it up like a phone call and it plays
nicely.
But I'm not. I don't work at Apple. We have one last section of the podcast.
And we have a lot more to get to.
We have
Patreon.
So much more
like,
on Patreon.
So, like, this has been
We wrote you so many questions, but...
We're having to pick the best ones.
So we'll go into them in the Patreon. It's all fine. There's plenty more to see.
Great.
But before we do, we need to know how the worm is doing. Usually, I would then give you a worm. However, given I'm in North Carolina, I don't have the worm with me. So back to you guys in the studio to see how the worm is doing.
Check it out.
Hi, Jack's good friend Justin here. While the boys have been on tour, I've been hanging out a lot with the worm, and turns out they're remarkably good at sim racing. In fact, they're even better than Jack.
God, I'm
wow,
so glad to hear
the
that's
worm
about
is
the
amazing.
Worm. The worm seems happy.
That
than
is a bit. Relief.
I was worried there for a minute.
You know what? Without our careful hand, I was worried the worm may perish. But
I had a little
God.
Pit in my stomach, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was
know.
Like, yeah.
He's like our woke son, but he's fine.
It's true. It's true.
Well,
just like
is he equally burdensome in your life?
All right, guys, we're going to explore that in the Patreon. So it's only, how much is it, by the way? By the way, guys,
yes.
When you were broke in New York,
yes.
Yeah.
Dead broke.
Yeah. Yes.
Really fucked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you ever have $7 spare?
$7 to spare.
Not
Stephanie,
a lot.
Stephanie
no.
kept track.
I bet
of,
you did, though, if the Patreon
I,
was no. asking.
I tracked purchases down to the 50-cent increment.
I thought you went down to the quarter.
No, 50
okay,
cents.
50 cent.
Here's my question for you, Stephanie, though. Be honest.
What?
Go hungry.
Mm.
go on the Sit Up I'm Talking Patreon.
These guys are spending $15 on the opera. I don't know if you know, but it's $7 a month for our Patreon. Much cheaper than the opera. You can bid off the opera. You can buy our Patreon for you and a friend. All right? So why don't you try it? $7. Head over there. We're going to be talking to the Pats more. We'll see you all on
the Patreon!
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.